lezigaba zenu nonke ezehlukene ukumsebenzi yenu eniyenzayo. Traditional leaders, amakhosi ezigabeni nezizwe zonke zezwe lakithi, sikhulekele indlunkulu nobukhosi bongangezwe lakhe. Leadership of the Jacob Zuma Foundation, leadership and members of my party, the African National Congress, the ANC, leaders of COSATU, leaders of SANCO, leaders and cadres of the South African Communist Party, former combatants and officers of Umkhonto weSizwe and the South African Security Forces, all comrades and supporters driving the project of socio-economic transformation, compatriots and friends. Today I wish to address my gratitude for your support and prayers as a prisoner of the democratic state in which the black majority controls the levers of state power. The fact that you have come to support me with prayers means a lot to me. Today, we have state governed by those who know what it is like to be oppressed and denied fundamental human rights. It is this state that has imprisoned me for contempt of court without trial, something has gone terribly wrong in our country. The main aspects of the unconstitutional debacle that ended with my current imprisonment bears repeating. Yes, I remain a prisoner under very strict parole conditions. It feels like what house arrest and burning orders must have felt, like during colonial apartheid government. Many attempts were made to remove me from any leadership position in the ANC and the democratic government since 1994. The Judicial Commission of Inquiry was the final measure of those who fear what I represent. The Judicial Commission of Inquiry was the final measure of those who fear what I represent could use. There is no legislation in terms of which anyone can direct the president to appoint a commission of inquiry. The public protector went further to recommend that the head of such commission must be elected by the Chief Justice. The president was only required to endorse the appointment or the appointed judge, as if he is performing his function in terms of Section 84F of the Constitution. All officials' action of president could be challenged for constitutionality. This happens all the time. For this reason, all official actions must be done in writing in terms of the Constitution and the law. As President of the Republic, I approached the court to ensure that I would be acting within the remit of the powers and functions of the president. The competent court ultimately ruled that I should establish the commission as recommended by the public protector and endorse the name of the judge selected by the Chief Justice. I decided it was prudent to comply.
Yeah, I'm on the.
I noted my dissatisfaction with these decisions. The idea that even judges make mistakes is easy to understand. Judges are human beings, and so are lawmakers and practitioners. They have personal views and beliefs that, from their understanding of legal principles, the laws and court processes do become sites of the struggle for control of state power between contesting political parties. The Chief Justice gave me the name of a judge from the Western Cape Division of the High Court. In the middle of the process, the Chief Justice came back with a different name for the head of commission, Judge Raymond Zondo. I found this puzzling, but decided that changing this would simply feed into the narrative that I was delaying the process. From the beginning, it became evident that the commission was consciously or not simply feeding the media narrative of a corrupt ANC and a corrupt ANC government. Let me be clear. The commission has surfaced much evidence of irregularities and apparent corrupt behavior on the part of various people. The evidence will be tested in due course and appropriate decisions taken. My opening statement at the commission in 2019 outlined the background against which it was established, especially the political context. The evidence led started a line of questioning that purported to give me an opportunity to rebut the affidavits of various people, including former colleagues who served as appointed by myself to the cabinet. My legal team objected to the process and the session was adjourned. Subsequently, I lodged an application for the recusal of Judge Zondo from presiding in the session to entertain my testimony. Judge Zondo elected to act as his own witness against me while presiding over the application for his recusal. He went on to rule against me on the matter between him and me, where the facts were in dispute. My legal team gave notice that we would apply for the review of his decision. We subsequently applied for the review of his decision at the High Court. Judge Zondo gave his notice to defend his decision as the commissioner. He then hastily sought and obtained direct access to the Constitutional Court to compel me to appear before him. The court, acting as first and last instance, ruled in his favor. It also ordered punitive costs against me, even though I had declined to oppose the application by the commission. It appeared that, deliberately or not, I was being brought in the manner that is in flagrant disregard of the letter and spirit of the commission. I therefore again declined to appear before Judge Zondo under these circumstances. He made another application to the Constitutional Court, this time to hold me in contempt. He also sought for a 2-year punitive jail sentence. He made it clear that he was not interested in having me appear before him. He just wanted me to be sent to jail for 2 years without trial by the Constitutional Court as a warning to everyone about its apparently unlimited powers. The court reserved judgment. The then acting Chief Justice sent me a letter inviting me to make representations by return letter, indicating what I thought would be a suitable sentence where I to be found guilty of contempt. This felt like I was called on to suggest which rope should be used to hang me without having pleaded to any charge and been prosecuted in a court. It seemed to me like an attempt for me to legitimize what I still view to be an unconstitutional process. I indicated my misgivings and declined to be part of such a process. The Constitutional Court subsequently delivered a judgment holding me in contempt of court and sentencing me to 15 months in jail. The majority sentencing judgment criticized me for expressing my opinions and beliefs about the whole process and the role of the courts in it. Indeed, the judgment declares that expressing my views and beliefs is inappropriate and justifies a severe prison sentence without trial. As an ordinary citizen and head of state and government at the time of the establishment of the commission, I have continued to wrestle with the constitutionality of the process. I came to the conclusion that we are heading towards a constitutional crisis that could easily descend into severe social instability. My legal team applied for stay of execution of sentence, pending an application to the Constitutional Court for it to rescind its order. The Constitutional Court agreed to hear the application on an urgent basis. The Pietermaritzburg High Court reserved its judgment on stay of execution of sentence. This order created lack of clarity about potential stay of execution of sentence. South African police and the South African police had sought clarity on just this issue. The last days before the arrest deadline, armed security forces descended on the King Cetshwayo district municipality. The declared intention was to execute my arrest regardless of any potential loss of life. Many comrades and supporters were demonstrating against what appeared to be heavy-handed and unwarranted show of state violence to arrest me. To avoid a dangerous war, a situation which was looming, and indeed to avoid the loss of lives of innocent citizens, including members of my family, I handed myself to be jailed at this escort prison. Allow me to highlight my thoughts about where we are on the road to freedom. Today, the Constitution and rule of law appears to be used as weapons of to avenge oneself against political opponents and to suppress alternative viewpoints. The rule of law is losing its essential power to build a strong and united nation. It is becoming a source of conflict rather than it has become a source of conflict rather than a mechanism to adjudicate and resolve civil and political conflicts. Let us be clear the Commission as a solemn undertaking among citizens creates civil and public peace. That is objective of it. The makers of the Constitution are the citizens of the country. The citizens have the ultimate duty and responsibility to ensure that the Constitution is truly an instrument of peace and nation building. Every citizen must be concerned if it appears that the Constitution and the rule of law are abused by the rich and powerful, whoever they may be. Colonial and apartheid law advanced various interests of the minorities. White population against the black majority. It drew roughshod over the human rights and black people. Law under the new constitution is increasingly being experienced as advancing the exclusive interests of the rich and powerful. Formally, all citizens are equal before the law and have the right to equal protection and benefit of the law. But access is restricted to a tiny minority with huge financial and other resources. The legal and judicial systems are creatures of the Constitution. Judges and functionaries that are given life by the Constitution, they are not above the law. Their interpretation of the Constitution and the law must accord with that of the makers of the Constitution and law. The majority of citizens want to believe that judges interpret the law to protect them and advance their interests, not to use it for retribution. Judges of the highest court in the land have a fundamental duty to highlight an obvious disjuncture between what the majority of citizens expect and what the law determines. As my fellow citizens, you have come to prayerfully comfort me as I continue to be a prisoner by order of the highest court of the country without trial. two judges in the minority judgment found that the majority judgment is bad. The majority judgment is bad in law. Violates my constitutional rights and is therefore unconstitutional. The same division among judges subsequently happened in the rejection of my application for the rescission of the majority judgment. As it is, I have decided to submit an application to an external jurisdiction to adjudicate this matter. We want to have a law-governed society. The current constitution sought to assure every citizen, black or white, that never again shall people be denied fundamental human rights. It also deliberately sought to ensure, especially white compatriots, that a black dominated state will not trample on their rights too. All citizens can be proud that peace was restored and a largely tolerant society and political environment has been maintained to date. Simultaneously, everyone would admit that now the cracks in society are widening, as evidenced by the revolts in July and the deployment of soldiers by the government. The Constitution has built in mechanisms that have been used till now. The last 18 Constitutional Amendment Act. I would suggest that serious consideration must be given to a more people-driven process of constitutional review, which will end with a national referendum to endorse amended constitution. Allow me to make few remarks with regards to my own organization, the ANC. Some people often mistake the behavior of the incumbent leadership to be the behavior of the ANC. The ANC is rooted amongst the people, with members in every branch. Others mistake misbehaving individual members for the ANC. I want to underline that you and I, we are the ANC. The ANC is us. I want to underline the enemies of freedom have always tried to divide the ANC and to divide those who fight for freedom and those who work to strengthen democracy as well as society at large. They have done this by spreading lies about the ANC and its leaders. They have done this by minimizing the successes and magnify shortcomings and failures. They have and continue to undermine the strength of the ANC also from within its own ranks. They have planted and continue to sponsor their own agents in the ANC ranks, particularly at leadership level. What we thought ended in 1994 of people who are recruited by our enemies and make them spies, we thought it had ended. It did not end. It continued. Indeed, our opponent and enemies want to reduce the ANC into a small organization, an organization that you cannot rely on, and change our languages, even to a point that when we are angry, we say it is the ANC, when it is individuals that make others angry. Indeed, our opponents and the enemies have been working very hard to reduce the ANC into a small organization that can only form government through coalitions, not with the majority that can change South Africa. We must be aware of this. That is the reason why I have made a call to many of my comrades and colleagues that we must vote for the ANC. Not to vote for the ANC or to encourage people who must become independents or vote for independence. You are, without realizing, helping the work of our enemies to make the ANC smaller. Some people say they are not going to vote for this coming elections of the municipalities. By so doing, we are taking the ANC away from power without realizing and encouraging other forces to come in. The question that remains is, if the ANC is out of power, which party can help us to change South Africa? With what policies? The ANC is the only organization with clear policies to change this country. And it must remain in power. It must grow to be bigger so that it can achieve its objectives. If we say, let us not give the ANC the power, we are almost like somebody who's stabbing himself with his own spear to die and be forgotten. That is a grave mistake we are making. And I'm unhappy that I'm told even some senior cadres of the ANC, with their anger and everything, that's what they say. It can't be correct. We need to solve the problems within the ANC so that it can succeed to move forward, not to move out of it or to deprive it of its power. We therefore must remain vigilant and defeat their machinations. That is our duty, not to run away from the ANC or to remove it of its power. If the leaders are not leading correctly, are not implementing the decisions that the membership take, deal with that issue. Leaders are changed if there is a need to change them in order to maintain the organization. We must watch that we do not help our enemies because we are angry, because maybe we don't like somebody else. The ANC will succeed because the people in their millions will rise with it at all material times. It will succeed because at the end of the day, all social forces in the country, black or white, know that an ANC that is rooted among the people is the most reliable partner for true freedom and peace in this country. Allow me too to make some remarks about local government. Members and supporters of the ANC have a right and duty to vote for local government and local councillors that shall represent their interests for the next 5 years. We have a duty to make sure that we vote for our organization to form the next government in all municipalities. Future must be ours. Failure to vote gives all power away for forces that will undermine the people's interests, because they do not have the policies that change this country. Campaigning against the ANC in the oncoming elections is also tantamount to giving the ANC away to those who are working to kill it and the aspirations of the majority within our country. And the fact that they are working to kill it, they are given instructions by our enemies to do so. And therefore, members who break away to stand as independence candidates or support other parties make a strategic and dangerous mistake because of temporary frustrations, anger, and disillusionment. If those who were part of the struggle could behave the way we are now behaving, I'm sure would not have reached our freedom where we did. ANC has always faced challenges. The strength of the ANC membership is to be within the ANC, correct those challenges, deal with those whom you think they are doing wrong things, not run away. My vote is not a secret. Me. I will vote ANC and I will die in the ANC because I joined the ANC because of his policies that it will change this country. And I will remain in it to correct it so that it is sharp enough to solve the problems, not move away, not reduce its power in governing this country. There is an opportunity now and after the elections to surmount internal divisions and strengthen the structures of the ANC and alliance partners at all material terms. Alliance formations is important. It has also suffered the same, by the way, the same situation that the ANC has faced. We should talk about it in the ANC at the right time. As we prepare for the 55th National Conference, those who truly love the ANC have the duty to strengthen its structures and also to ensure that it retains local state power in every municipality. The 55th National Conference will review the process of progress during the current leadership term. And I'm sure the delegates will air their views and take their decisions appropriately. Let all who wish let all who wish it the best and the best for all South Africans make sure that when the conference adjourns, it brings in a truly new era for our organization. That is the duty that faces us, not move away. Because the truth is, if in the coming elections you become an independent or vote for other people, the reality is that by the time we go to the conference, next conference, you would not be here. You would not be able, therefore, to fix the ills of the ANC. You would have run away. But if you are in, you would be there to help us rebuild the ANC. I'm stressing this point because it worries me. It also says to me, the situation is, in a sense, checking our political depth. How do we understand the revolution? How do we understand the running of a country? How do we understand to defend the revolution? If the enemies come in your house, you can't run away from your house and leave them to burn your house. You must take them out. Allow me once again to address the importance of unity of the National Democratic Forces. The 1994 moment was a culmination of the determined and relentless struggle of the National Democratic and Working Class Forces behind the vision of total emancipation. The most critical factor was the unity of the oppressed, Black people, African people, across the widest spectrum of ideological positions, Christians, Muslims, Hindus, African traditional faiths, and other faiths, united behind the vision of freedom for all. They united with community-based organizations and trade unions behind this vision. They united with communists behind this vision. They united with progressive white compatriots behind this vision. My call is for all of us to ponder the future and decide whether we shall come out as those who represent the best or the worst of humanity. If faith in humanity were ever called upon to show itself, it is now. All of us have constructive role to play. Let our consciences and political consciousness be our personal guides. We have the opportunity to do so. Sonke sitabuka othuli. We shall defend all our leaders and all our comrades and compatriots. Ngifuna ukubonga kakhulu ukuthi ngenkathi ngibanjwa nabonisa ukungezwani nokwakwenziwa abaphetheyo. Ngiboshwa icala lami lingathethwanga. Ngibonga kakhulu ukuthi namhlanje ngiyangihlangabeza nizokhuleka njengoba sengiphumile ejele noma ngingakaphumi ngaphela nya ngoba ngisaboshelwe ngaphandle. Kodwa lokhu kimi kunginika ithemba lokuthi njalo nje siyovikela umbuso wethu, siyovikela umbutho wethu, solvukela untulwa kithi iAfrika mayibuye iAfrika mayisikelelwe inkosi yethu ngiyabonga kakhulu ngidabuka ukuthi angkwazanga ukuba lapho kanye nani namhlanje ngenxa yokuthi ngiseyisiboshwa kuse umuntu kahulumeni ngiyabonga.